Hello.
Hello, Susan.
Hello, Sister Joe.
How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm great. I want to welcome our audience to Dip Stitch.
Hello, everybody.
Hello.
You
So, oh, go ahead.
I was gonna say, I was going through this day in history. I do that sometimes just to see what just to kind of look back a little bit. And so today I wanted to share a couple of things, especially in the 80s. I've been thinking a lot about the 80s. I graduated in 88, and I think you graduated in what year?
82.
Right. So thinking back to that, so a couple of things that happened in 86, a couple of tough things. In 1986, on this day, the Space Shuttle Challenger exploded, and that was the one that had Christy McAuliffe on it from New Hampshire, the teacher.
Right.
And let's see what else. Ted Bundy was executed today. He was electrocuted, actually.
Ooh.
Yeah. And it was this date in 19. Oh, that was 98. Never mind. I was gonna say. Today in 98, anyways, I'll share, even though it was in the 80s, Bill Clinton was on TV denying having sexual relations with Monica Lewinsky. Remember that whole fiasco?
Oh, of course.
Yeah, that to round out the 90s. But anyway, so I was thinking about the 80s and how, God, it was so different, right? I mean, with television shows and just whatever else. But I was trying to think back to just my memories of the 80s, even though it seems forever ago. What were some of your favorite memories of the 80s?
Well, the first my favorite memories, first and foremost, my son was born in 1983, so that was
Shout out to Adam. Whoop whoop.
the highlight. Pardon me. And also I met in high school a group of girls who were just awesome friends, and we were inseparable. I got to give a shout out to Alicia, Ginny, Kim, and Teresa. You go, girls. You were the
Woohoo!
best. They were the best. And so I had a lot of memories with them. And also in the 80s, when my son was 5, we went to Japan.
Oh, that's right.
Yep, in 1988, we took a 10-day trip, and it was awesome.
Wow, with a 5-year-old. Oof.
Yeah, 14 hours on the plane with a 5-year-old, believe me,
Wow.
it was not easy. But it was lots of good memories were made there. We did a lot of traveling, and everything was really cool. But there's one story I have to tell you. We were in Tokyo. Well, first of all, we got to let the audience know our brother lives in Japan. He's been there over 30 years. And so the reason I went to Japan was to go and visit him and his wife, and at the time, their baby, Sho. Now they have 4 kids and they're all grown. But back in 88, there was just the three of them. And so myself and Adam, my oldest son, went to Japan, and we saw all the sights, and we ate all the delicious food and traveled around. It was really great. But one night we were in Tokyo, and George's wife, Hiromi, wanted to, well, asked me if I wanted to go to Nijima Island. And because she knew someone who was teaching English there. It was an Irish guy. So I assumed we were all gonna go, but she booked 2 tickets for Adam and I to go to Nijima Island. Little did I know, first of all, Nijima is a gorgeous island, but it's not even charted. It's a tiny little island
Oh my God.
about 10 hours off of the coast of
What? Did she
Tana.
tell you that?
No, she didn't
Was it
tell
a
me that.
regular, was it a ferry or like a dinghy? What was it?
Oh my God, no, it was a huge, huge boat. But she got us, when she asked me if I wanted to go there, I said, sure. So she said, great. Well, the boat leaves tonight from Tokyo Harbor at 10 p.m. I said, okay. And she said, I have a ticket for you and for Adam. And I was like, okay. So we got on the boat at 10 o'clock at night, and she must have got us economy tickets because we were in the bowels of the boat, all the way down in the bottom. And of course, you get on the boat and you have to take off your shoes. And there's only carpeting on the floor. So you kind of take off your shoes, find a piece of real estate, and just, try to sleep or whatever. So we did, and we're sitting there, and all of a sudden, this voice comes over the intercom saying, all I could figure out was they were giving emergency instructions.
Oh, right. You have to do that on a boat. Yeah, there's a name for it, but I forget it. Yeah.
Excuse me.
It's like a drill.
Yeah. And everybody's looking around and listening to the voice, and I am like, we're gonna die. We're gonna die here. That's the bottom line. So I didn't bring a lot of money, but I had enough money to buy some food, and we had something to eat, and I could hear the other passengers say, Americano, Americano, and looking at us.
They weren't ordering coffees.
They were not ordering coffee. They were staring at us saying that, and I was like, okay, these people hate us. I don't know what the emergency instructions are. I don't know what's going to happen to us, but I tried to get some sleep. Meanwhile, my 5-year-old is sitting there eating cheese doodles, like, it's
He's like in heaven. It's like Christmas.
yeah,
He's up late. He's eating chips or
he's
whatever.
eating Cheetos and just like not a care in the world.
Yeah.
So I managed to get a little bit of sleep, but I got up the next day and looked out the portholes, and there were
Did you
these.
sleep on the floor?
Oh yeah. Everybody slept on the floor.
Together?
Yeah, you had your own little piece of floor, but yeah. These were economy seats. These were
Did you have a seat?
no.
Just the
I
floor.
had the economy floor. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, so I wake up, I see palm trees. I'm like, wow, that is gorgeous. I think, okay, I'm gonna go up top and on deck and look at the beautiful sights. But I look around and Adam's nowhere to be found.
Oh my
So
God.
yeah, so I run upstairs. And he ended up finding a couple of kids to play with, and they were having fun. They were running around the deck and just, having a good time. So I'm standing on the deck and I'm looking at all these little fishing boats coming out of these island coves and looking at the palm trees, and just like it was just the most gorgeous sight. And I'm standing there minding my own business, and this woman comes up. A Japanese woman comes up to me, and she spoke fluent English. And she starts telling me that she has a son, but her son doesn't live with her because she has a boyfriend.
Oh.
Yeah, so that's convenient. So I'm listening to her, and she's telling me all about her life and la-di-da like that, and I'm listening, and
Kind of. Yeah.
yeah, I'm nodding and smiling and that. And then she says to me, "Are you Christian?" And I said, "Yes." And she said, would you pray with me? And I thought, I mean, of course I should pray with her. I'm Christian. Why would I not?
Right.
So I said, sure. So she bows her head and she says, dear God. And so I repeat, dear God. And then she says, pray for me. And so I repeat after her and I say, pray for me.
Right.
And she looks up and she goes, oh, no, 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 no. Pray for me.
Okay.
yeah. Pointing to herself. And I'm like, I stopped. I said, wait a minute here. You don't need any prayers. You have abandoned your child.
You said that to her?
Yes. Sent your child. Oh, not only did her child not live with her child was living in Georgia in the U.S.
Wow.
In the U.S. In the south of the United States, where there's a lot of, I'm assuming, I don't know, but I'm assuming the kid might be feeling a little discriminated against. Probably, there's probably very few Japanese children living in Georgia.
Right.
And I said, excuse me, you don't need prayers. You just got rid of your child. You're with your boyfriend. And you want me to pray for you? I said, no way. I said, no way. And her boyfriend was a big guy. He was standing beside her. So I had to like carefully slink away. So that.
Did she say anything to you?
No, I laughed. I was just like, lady, you know, she didn't need my prayers.
Wow.
She was very selfish.
Wow.
Very selfish. Getting rid of your kid so that you can have a boyfriend.
You think that's what really happened, though?
It sounded that way. She went through the whole story.
Wow.
Yeah. So... I guess what's the moral of this story? I don't know.
Don't get on a Japanese boat alone without someone who speaks Japanese.
That's true. That's true. So, but that was one experience I had.
Wow.
Mm.
Wow. So I also had the privilege of going to Japan, but I went in 1989. I spent my 19th birthday there, and I actually spent over 2 months, May to August, and wasn't long after you went, because Sho was still their first son was still, you know, maybe around a year old.
Yeah,
he wasn't crawling yet, so maybe it was only a few. Maybe we weren't that far off. But I. You know, I was alone in the sense that, you know, our brother was working a lot. I didn't have anybody else with me. And it was I had met Hiromi before just because they had visited. But, I wasn't as adventurous. I wasn't going to really go a lot of places on my own. I was a little bit very afraid of new things. But, I was very homesick the first couple of weeks. I actually wanted to go home, but I'm glad I stayed. So I have a couple of funny stories. My flight there, I was a heavy smoker at the time. And I remember I had the window seat and there were, I want to say four seats across. I think it was, It was like the, you know, the big planes. It was like 4, 3, 3, 4 across. Mm-hmm. Well, anyways, it was quite a few. And I did not get up. The whole flight.
14 hours?
Did not get up one time. I smoked probably 3 packs of cigarettes. And everyone next to me was smoking and they were like drinking, these like older Japanese people. And I was fine. I just smoked and sat there and I don't know. And I have to tell you, when I got there, I was, you know, tired, but jet lag hit me and I felt like I had run a marathon. My body was aching because I hadn't gotten up. I mean, my was stiff, so that was a little crazy. But So, I also was able to go to Tokyo Disney, which
Oh,
Disneyland.
I did that too.
Yeah, that was fun. I'm trying to think what else. I did she did kind of drop me. We were visiting some family of hers, and she brought me to our cousin's house who had like some other, relatives living there and some younger children. And they pulled out these laser discs with movies. Do you remember the laser discs? We didn't have them, but they were almost like DVDs, but they were like album size. They were huge. Yeah,
Really?
and they pulled out these movies, and Hiromi said, "All right, I'll be back in a little while." And I'm like, no, you can't leave me here. No. They wanted to sit and watch movies, and I was like, please don't leave me alone. I was so nervous. So
Yeah.
she didn't, so that was good.
I get dropped off at in the Ginza to shop for the day.
Oh, I wouldn't mind that.
And George gave me his business card so that I could hail a taxi to bring me back to his
Oh,
work.
right.
Except I was hailing down private cars because they all looked the same. All the cars, like, were all Toyotas,
Right.
even the cabs.
Yep.
So I was waving to haul a cab, and it was a regular car half the time.
They
So
probably
I'm
took you where you wanted to go.
No, they didn't. They stared at me like I was crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So go on. I'm sorry. You were saying?
No, I think the craziest thing that happened was, it was hot. It was hot and muggy, I remember. And one night, I tended to be up late. I never really adjusted to the time. But I was laying in bed. I was probably listening to music or something. And there was an earthquake, and I didn't really know it quite at first because I had never been in an earthquake before. And my
Wow.
first reaction was to run into the bathroom.
Well, that's not a bad reaction.
I don't know. It was just kind of weird. And I was like, holy crap. I mean, the whole house was shaking. It probably lasted about, I feel like 5 or 6, 7 seconds. It wasn't that long, but oh my God, I was so scared. I just jumped up and I didn't know what to do. It was crazy. I mean, it
Yeah.
was just, and they were kind of laughing at me. I was just like, I didn't know what to do. And they were like, well, that was nothing. I was like, oh God, I didn't know.
Oh, did you go to the public baths?
No, I did not. I didn't, like I said, I didn't do a lot. She had the baby with her, and I didn't really want to go out on my own. Although she knew someone who had been a customer of her father's tea shop, who was a German man married to a Japanese woman, and they had a son who spent a lot of time in America, and he was like American pretty much. He spoke Japanese but didn't read it. And he had a friend visiting who was a Japanese American, and she was visiting from somewhere in the middle of the, somewhere in the Midwest. And she said, "Oh, they're all going out. Do you want to go?" And I was like, "I don't know who these people are," but I was like, "Yeah, okay, I'll go." And we ended up going to like Hard Rock Cafe, and we were drinking, and we met up with a bunch of American Marines, and then we got kicked out of all these places because at one place they were like, "You guys can come in, but you can't come in." And they were like, "Why can't we come in?" And they're like, "No, Marines allowed."
Oh, really?
Yeah, they just had a bad reputation in Tokyo, so we just kind
Oh.
of, and I don't even I it was a long night. Yeah. It was a long night. I luckily think at one point I had lost them, and I found them somehow, but
Oh, thank God.
yeah, it was interesting. And another night George took me to some like bar down at the harbor, and it was all these like unsavory sailors, but it was interesting. It was like these Russian sailors, and
Yeah.
just a little bit scary, but we just went, and it was just like this kind of bar diner-ish kind of place, but it was a really
Well,
interesting country. I'm glad I was able to experience it.
oh, it's really wonderful. And I mean, we were there in the 80s, so I'm sure a lot has changed, but I think I probably did a lot of the same things you did. And but I did go to the public baths, which are called onsens. And the first time I went, no, not the first time, probably the second time, but when we got to Nijima Island, we disembarked from the boat, and Hiromi's friend was there to meet us, and we got in the car, and he said, "We're all going to the onsen." And of course, onsen, I had no idea what that meant. So I'm like, okay. Then he told me it was a public bath. So, I mean, within an hour after getting to the island, I was going to be naked in front of all these people I didn't know. Which,
well, you had all shared a floor with them. I mean,
no, these are our hosts on the island.
Oh, right.
Yeah. And, but the first time I went to the public baths, and of course they have the male section and the female section. So yeah. It's not, you know, but the first time I went to the onsen, I realized, you know, you have to shower before you get into the bath.
Yeah.
And then they give you towels. Well, the towel is
tiny,
the size of a face cloth.
Right.
So I was trying to scrunch my body up so that I could cover all the important parts with that little mini towel. And I couldn't. And eventually I just said, the hell with it. I can't, you know, can't do this. Can't be modest. You got to just do as they do. So, you know, so I thought the baths were really interesting, and it's really a social event. It's not even about bathing. It's just a place to meet, you know, Americans meet to go to the movies. Well, a lot of Japanese people meet to take a bath together.
Yeah. Well,
it's just how it is.
Yeah. You kind of community together, relaxing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's nice. Because I think that's great.
Yeah. It was a lot of fun. And when we were on Nijima Island, I could hear into the men's bath, and I could hear these two old men giggling because they were talking to Adam, who was 5.
Yeah.
And of course he didn't understand anything they were saying, so they were giggling about him.
Oh,
it was kind of cute. It was kind of cute. So yeah, so those are pretty much my highlights. I love the tea ceremony.
Yeah.
That was really quite beautiful. And, oh gosh, what else? Just different places around Tokyo were really amazing.
We went at one point, we went to, Yokohama. They have like a Chinatown there.
That's where I went too. Yeah.
Yeah. And we went to dinner, and there's this phenomenon. I don't know if you'd call it a phenomenon, but something that happens to many Asian people when they drink, they have this kind of reaction in their body where their face turns really flush.
Mm-hmm.
It's some kind of chemical reaction that genetically happens to them. I'm sure it happens to other people, but mm-hmm. It kind of happens to mom, actually. Any amount of alcohol, and they get really flush and hot, mm-hmm. and not necessarily drunk, just kind of weird. But anyway, so Hiromi's father, I don't remember his first name.
Sakan.
He was there with us. The mom was there with us, and her name was Yoshiko.
That sounds right.
Yoshiko. And yes, because her sister was Naoko.
Mm-hmm.
And Ko means like kid, something kid. She was like smart kid, and then there was something kid. Anyway. And George and Hiromi and the baby and the sister and the brother-in-law. So we're all there. And dad, the father drinks a beer.
Mm-hmm.
And he gets all red and all smiley. And he starts talking to these girls at another table about how he goes swimming every day and he's an amazing swimmer. And the mother's just looking at him and looking at Hiromi. And they're like, what's going on? She's like, oh, he's bragging about how much he can swim and how strong he is.
Oh, my God.
And I just, you know, I didn't know what he was saying, but you could tell, like, he was all, like, puffy-chested and, you know, all proud. Yeah. And the girls were just kind of giggling and listening, but not really paying him much attention.
Yep. That sounds about right. I remember him.
Yeah.
He's passed, but.
Yeah.
But the mom's still around.
Yeah.
So any other Japanese memories, or is that pretty much?
Gosh, you know, not really. No, not really. I mean, there's a lot of little ones, but I think that the most important thing I remember is that how, looking back, how lucky I was to have that experience before. Mm-hmm. Before I kind of locked into anything, you know, as an adult, I was still kind of, you know, just freshly 19. And I definitely was lucky to be able to travel and to have a place to land safely. Mm-hmm. And if nothing else, just to be in a different culture and, mm-hmm. You know, soak in, like I said, I probably could have soaked in a lot more, but, it was definitely a great experience, and I got a Gucci bag out of it and a Gucci wallet. That was great.
Oh, very nice. Very nice. Well, I have to stop you because you did have a place to land there, but didn't you land with other family members along the way?
Did I land with other family members along the way? What do you mean?
Didn't you stay with Neil and you stayed with Tim?
Oh, so through my in my 20s, I lived with everybody except you and Dan.
Yeah, oh, okay.
I did. I lived, I stayed in Japan that summer, but I stayed with Neil when he lived in Maryland. I was there a few months and I worked at a restaurant. And then I lived with him in San Antonio.
Oh, you did?
And I worked at Walgreens. That was wonderful. Mm. And I lived in Santa Fe, New Mexico with Tim.
Mm-hmm.
And I worked at the New Mexican School for the Deaf. So that was kind of fun.
Wow.
And really loved Santa Fe. But it's kind of one of those places that I'd have to work 3 jobs to actually live and survive and enjoy that place because it's pretty spendy.
Yeah.
But one of the great things I got to do was I went to the Balloon Festival, which I highly recommend.
I've heard of that.
Oh, it's 900 at the time. This was in the early 90s, like 92, maybe, mm-hmm. maybe 91, 92. And it was in outside of Albuquerque, and you go it before the sun rises and you pull into this huge field. And what's special about this area is there's a box wind, they call it. So mm-hmm. up in the sky, the wind is moving in all 4 directions, almost like in a box, so that things are kind of floating more. They're not, you know, getting blown around. It's called it a box wind. And when I was there, 900 hot air balloons mass ascending, all about the same time.
Oh my God.
Right as the sun rose. And it was
amazing.
So many different kinds of balloons, different characters, different shapes, all different kinds of things. And it was unbelievable.
I would love to see that.
Oh, they still do it. And I think there's one other place in the country that might have something similar. Mm-hmm. But this one is famous. It was amazing. Amazing. So
that is,
I had a lot of really cool experiences in my 20s. I have to say I was very, very spoiled and very lucky to be able to really experience all different parts of the country. And, you know,
you've always been spoiled.
Yeah. All right. Especially in my 20s then.
Yeah. I was, like I said, in the 80s, I was raising my son. And then in the 90s, I had my second child. So I was raising him through the 90s. So my life became a life of leisure probably when I turned 50. So I've had almost 7 years of relaxation, but no, I shouldn't say that. Jamie and I traveled quite a lot when he was working full time. And we went to Europe, we went to France, we went to the Canary Islands. We traveled through a lot of different places, Madrid and places like that. But no, we did quite a bit of traveling. Went to Mexico several times. And then, of course, all around the country, different places. So I shouldn't say I was only raising my kids. I was traveling as well. And like you said, you know, you learn different cultures, and it's not only outside of the country. Our own country has different cultures no matter where you go.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know.
For sure.
So those are fond memories of the 80s.
Yeah, we've been pretty lucky that we've had that we've had any time for leisure, because, you know, there's a lot of people that don't ever get that opportunity. So, yeah.
Right, right. Yeah.
Oh, anyway.
Well, we've wasted, as they say on Car Talk, we've wasted a perfectly good half hour.
I miss that show. Oh, I love that show.
I know, it's so good. Oh, they still run it. They have, what did they call it?
Best of Car Talk.
I think that is what they call it.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
Well, listen, I feel like my new thing I say is when I'm ready to either listen to the podcast, because sometimes I'll listen over or listen to some of them again, or when I'm getting ready to think about recording again, I always think I'm going dipping. That's what I call it.
I know. I saw that text you sent me and I liked it.
I'm going dipping.
Going to dip stitch. Got to dip stitch.
Dipping deep tonight.
Dipping deep.
Well, it was good talking with you, and it was nice to relive a little bit of the 80s.
And, yeah.
And hopefully we'll get some feedback. We'd love some suggestions, and anyone who would like to come on the show, we would love to have more guests and just really some feedback to help us kind of go forward. But we got lots of stories in us.
Oh yeah, we can converse pretty darn well, so no problem there.
You said that like we can converse pretty darn. Yes, we can. Yes, we can.
Okay, maybe I'm
must converse.
Maybe I'm getting tired.
Yeah. All right. Well, dip stitch out.
Bye bye.
Bye bye.